From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the sixth day of April 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. The folks from the Andersons will join us to take a look at the cash grain market, and we'll hear all about the weather forecast from Mark Russo at Risk Pulse. He's in Chicago, Illinois. And along the way today, we'll hear excerpts from last Friday's FarmDoc Daily Live webinar with the chief economist at USDA right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's the way the numbers settled in Chicago for this Monday. May corn today down 3 cents at $3.27¾. July at $3.33½, 3¼ lower. And December futures down 2½ cents at $3.48¼. Next year's March contract at $3.59½, 2½ lower in the corn. May beans up $0.01¼ at the end of the day, $8.55½ the settlement price. July $8.61¼ up 1¾ in November at $8.65¼, 3¾ higher. The bean oil up 40 cents. The bean meal down $6.20. July soft red winter wheat 6 cents higher at $5.51. The hard red at $4.81¾, 3¼ higher. Live cattle futures in Chicago settled 450 lower in the lead April at $83.82½. June down 55 cents at $80.30. April feeder cattle up $2.17½, 110.42½ the settlement price. And April lean hogs for the day at $41.12½, up 90 cents on the afternoon. Crude oil about $1.92 lower per barrel today. Ethanol futures nearly unchanged. Heating oil down 2⅔ cents. The price of gasoline on the wholesale, 70 cents. It's just about a penny higher for the day. The Dow's around 1,145 points higher. The U.S. dollar is up 0.038 in the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,679.10, up $45.40. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, Todd. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, on this Monday, I think maybe let's start with when you talked to producers today, were they in the field getting ready to go to the field? What kind of operations were happening?
All the above. The forecast has cooperated for the most part here in the Central Belt. We've got customers that have some corn in the ground, but more so beans. Seems like the beans have been fairly aggressive being put in the ground here. Others are still in a situation where their ground's just too wet and too cold. With the forecast being cold next week, they're still kind of scratching their head. But compared to a year ago, we're seeing a lot more of the crop being put in the ground or being a little bit more aggressive. So what we need is just a warmer, drier pattern, and that's going to be tough to come by as we move into next week.
Let's start with the bright spot. Wheat gained 6 cents, but lifted that market for the day.
A lot of spread activity, buying wheat, selling corn, buying beans, selling corn. But world wheat is kind of holding through here as these countries kind of put the question mark, do I really want to be exporting a lot of grain when we've got this virus moving around and a lot of uncertainty. But wheat has held in there. If you look at the corn-wheat spread, it's back to some historically wide levels. So we'll see if that holds. If we can see wheat kind of give up leadership in here, maybe unwind the spread and give support to the corn. Corn just continues to be an anchor on the energy side here, still looking at some ethanol plants shutting down or considering shutting down. And the bad deal about that is there's some producers had some contracts that deliver some corn, and I guess there's a clause in the contract where, you know, they don't have to honor that if they are in a position to shut down. So there goes the hedge or the marketing plan. And on the flip side, too, livestock guys, DDGs, they're going to have trouble obtaining DDGs if there's a prolonged shutdown. Estimates are maybe we could lose maybe 20% of the ethanol demand. We'll have to monitor that. Thursday, monthly supply demand report. If you go back to last week's, the grain stock estimate was on target for what we've been talking about and hearing about all winter long, that crops, you know, corn particularly is not there. It did show a little smaller inventory on that report on the stocks. And so if you carry that into the new crops or the supply-demand balance sheet, it should show a tighter ending stocks, but with the uncertainty of the demand side, one will probably offset the other. If we didn't have this ethanol or demand concern, I'd say corn ending stock could quickly drop to 1.6 million bushels. But with the uncertainty on the demand side, ideas are that we could actually see a slightly higher ending stocks estimate on Thursday, and that's in reflection of just uncertainty of the future demand picture in front of us. So it's going to be important to try to get these ethanol plants back online and through here. It's kind of a catch-22. When you look at the big picture, we've always wanted to see some cheaper energy values, cheaper gas values. That would use up energy, but two, it would also put more money in the public's pocket to help the economy go. Now, all of a sudden, we're wanting higher energy prices, so there's got to be an equilibrium in there somewhere. Thursday will also be a big day on the energy side, as we're supposedly going to have some OPEC talks take place. So we're going to get everybody good and shook up on Thursday and make them think about it for 3 days, because Friday, Good Friday, is going to be a trade holiday there, Todd.
This afternoon, USDA will release the first crop progress report of the year.
Yeah, the Dakota number will be the most interesting to watch. And then maybe, too, the state break down on the southeast there on where they are with corn and cotton and so forth. But, yeah, that's the bearish thing, is that 97 planting intentions report. When you figure that into the new crop, like you mentioned there, it has a burdensome supply, especially if we come in with the average trade guess of a 2 billion bushel carryout on Thursday on corn. You float that in there. Some of these analysts are talking maybe 3 billion bushel carryout, but we don't have the crop in the ground, and that's a long, long ways away yet. So a lot of moving parts in through here. The market's incredibly oversold, so we're looking for some stability here until we get the crop in the ground and kind of see what direction we go. Hogs had a huge day today. A lot of news there in the meat sector. The front end, particularly on fats, was struggling due to some employees at JBS and Grand Island Beef House tested positive. There's a Tyson Pork facility in Columbus Junction, Iowa, that tested employees tested positive, so maybe taking a little downtime at these plants. And the significance of that is we could probably back up, but that's been well anticipated. But the back end on the hogs closed sharply higher in through here, had some fairly good technical reversals to the upside, some key price reversals to the upside. We made a new contract low, closed above Friday's high. So technically, that back end in the hog complex is ready to say enough's enough, and we need to put some premium back into the marketplace.
Hey, thanks, Kurt. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. During last Friday morning's FarmDoc Daily Coronavirus and Ag webinar, which you can find on our website at willag.org and sign up for the rest of that series there too, I had the opportunity to question the chief economist from the United States Department of Agriculture, Rob Johansen. We started with ethanol and the impact that COVID-19 is having on that industry and how much usage or decline in ethanol usage he expects from the current situation. These are excerpts that I edited back together.
We would expect as a 10% decline in gasoline sales to see at least a 10% decline in ethanol sales as well, depending on our exports. Now, of course, we would expect as part of phase one with China that China may have increased its purchases of ethanol. Still too soon to determine whether that's the case or not. Of course, they're also still recovering from their coronavirus outbreak and the shutdown of a lot of their economy, certainly in Hubei province. But for the U.S., we would expect domestic use of ethanol to fall by at least 10%, over 1.5 billion gallons of ethanol down. Pretty significant impact on that corn supply, particularly if we're looking at planting 97 million acres. I think that's one of the reasons why we've seen corn futures fall by 50 cents a bushel in the last couple of weeks.
Again, that's Rob Johansson, the chief ag economist at the United States Department of Agriculture, speaking during last Friday's FarmDoc Daily Live webinar. I had the opportunity to ask several questions of him, including a couple hearkening back to the $2 trillion package that Congress put together as the CARES Act. I wanted to know whether the replenishment, the $14 billion that was put into that act for the CCC, which is how the MFP program was paid out, was a replenishment for previous payments, or whether that was looking forward into the current year. Here's his answer.
Well, the CCC fund fluctuates over the space of the year. It gets replenished normally as part of regular business operations and appropriations. Appropriations have been actually not really running on a routine time period. So those replenishments of the CCC spending authority get done usually as part of a continuing resolution. But generally speaking, the replenishment occurs after we audit the books for the previous fiscal year. And that normally would happen late fall and early winter. So the $14 billion replenishment that was given to us was for a number of reasons. And again, I'll leave it to Jonathan to cover that in his talk.
Jonathan is Jonathan Kappas, Ag Policy Specialist here on this campus. You can hear his answers in the FarmDoc Daily Live webinar. Again, that's on our website. I also took the opportunity during the webinar to ask Mr. Johansson if he thought China would be able to meet its Phase 1 trade agreement.
I think it is still feasible. Is it likely? That's another question. That they would meet their commitments to purchase by the end of December for phase one, or whether that will spill over into fiscal or calendar year 2021, which also has its, you know, its own commitments for purchases. There's a lot of different ways that China can meet its commitments. As I mentioned earlier, they could purchase ethanol. They can purchase other livestock products. I know that their purchases of corn and cotton have been increasing recently. So we would still think that the phase one commitments are achievable for 2020 and 2021. I think everybody would acknowledge that those phase one purchase commitments were an extremely good signal for US producers. I still think they're an extremely good signal for US producers. I also think that there were suggestions that they were ambitious sales purchases, and that was even before coronavirus hit. And I would suggest that I think the observation that they were ambitious sales commitments is still valid. And I would say that the coronavirus impacts are still causing uncertain demand in the United States as well as abroad. And it would only certainly make those phase one commitments still ambitious and somewhat uncertain as to whether the actual amounts will be met by the end of December.
One other question I had for the chief economist last Friday was prompted by a slide in his presentation that outlined the fall in commodity prices since January 1. Cotton has taken actually the largest price decline. I wanted to know whether USDA would be using that slide series as a way to allocate the $9.5 billion in disaster ad hoc aid in the $2 trillion CARES Act, or whether it would be following the congressional specs, which pointed to the livestock sector and specialty crops.
Yeah, I mean, the spending authority for that $9.5 billion talked about providing agricultural producers with support, and it included some subsets of what agricultural producers could be, but certainly that wasn't an exclusive list. So agricultural producers is a pretty broad range of production in the United States. So there is the discretion to and flexibility to be able to use those monies to target the sectors most affected.
Is the slide you showed on detailing the most affected commodities by price since January kind of a blueprint for those dollars then?
No, those are only prices. They don't talk about sales. So certainly as you would all acknowledge, being ag economists, that any kind of cash receipt or expected decline in revenues would be both a function of price and quantity.
What you've been listening to are selected excerpts from the FarmDoc Daily Live Coronavirus and Ag webinar held last Friday with Chief Economist at the United States Department of Agriculture, Rob Johansson. You may find the full webinar on our website at willag.org, willag.org. On this Monday, we're joined by Mark Russo. He's at Brisk Pulse from Chicago, Illinois. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
It was a fantastic weekend here. I did a lot of work outside in my yard. I didn't go anyplace. My brothers, who are farmers, did a lot of work outside as well, and they're not the only ones in this part of the world that are now going. Let's say Plant 20 is underway in East Central and Central Illinois, and I would imagine a large part of the Corn Belt or a good portion of the lower third of the Corn Belt. Can you give me an idea of what conditions will be like over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, looking ahead here, Todd, for much of the middle of the country, the outlook features drier than normal conditions. In fact, compared to late last week, the forecast has trended slightly drier. And so this looks to be the situation from the northern plains all the way down to the southern plains and, you know, much of the Corn Belt here. And so the drier changes, though, do come at the expense of cooler temperatures. So while the model guidance did shift drier, it did shift colder as well. So that's something that needs to be monitored here coming up. Now, for planting across, whether that's in the Springfield area or across much of Illinois and adjacent areas of Indiana and Missouri, with the drier outlook, that's quite favorable here for early planting. And again, this all follows what was a wetter than normal March. So this upcoming period will allow for drying out of the wetter soil.
And then other places across the planet that we ought to be checking in on as COVID-19 begins to close down some of the supply chains, meaning countries are looking at what they've got on hand and whether they need to keep it there. Part of that will have to do what the season looks like for them going forward. I'm wondering, because we've heard from Russia that they're concerned what conditions are like in Russia, in its neighboring nation, Ukraine, and some of the planting regions in that area.
Yeah, specifically for that Black Sea winter wheat and corn belt. So Russia, Ukraine, even into Romania, Bulgaria, and Hungary. That is the area that's leading our list in terms of concerns for developing and expanding dryness. In fact, for Ukraine and Russia, the drier than normal conditions have generally been in place since last fall. They've gone into some windows of improvement, but over the next several weeks, it looks like conditions will remain drier than normal across those areas. So that's something to keep a close eye on. Again, that's beginning to impact winter wheat development as it comes out of a dormancy, but it's also something to watch for upcoming corn planting, which is going to be taking place, as to the longevity of the drier pattern in that area. It's not all of the Europe and Russia region, but especially Eastern Europe into Western Russia, kind of the heart of what we call the Black Sea winter wheat and corn belt.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse from Chicago, Illinois. Let's turn our attention to the cash grain market now. Greg Johnson is here. He's from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Hey, good afternoon to you, Greg. Have things been quiet there today? I bet that's the case.
Yes. Yeah, we were halfway busy for the first hour or two. And then when the markets, corn market especially, sold off, I think the farmers decided to put their marketing hat away and get on the tractor and maybe put some anhydrous down and maybe even plant a few beans.
Yeah, so that's the one I want to talk about, because every time I've talked to somebody who's in the field, and there are more than a few, if they're in the field planting, it's not corn, it's soybeans. But I don't think that's an indication that they're planning to put more soybeans in the ground, right?
Correct. I think the thinking is that with the new soybean treatments, you can put beans in the ground in the colder weather, in the colder soils anyway, and they will sit there and not be damaged as much and wait for the weather to warm up. Whereas corn, you probably do see a little bit of a adverse reaction if you put the corn seed in the ground and it stays cold for an extended period of time.
So soybeans are going in the ground, yet USDA says 97 million acres of corn are expected to be planted by producers. Actually, that's what producers told them in the survey last week. That's going to be really hard on old and new crop prices. What are your thought processes as you talk to producers about what they've got left in the bin?
Yeah, it's tough. They just, you know, I think they're starting to resign themselves to the fact that they're not going to see a big bounce back in corn prices. Number one, we have to get people back to work, get people driving before we can even think about increasing the demand for unleaded gasoline, and that would help out the ethanol, which would help out the corn. But that still seems to be at least a month or two away at the earliest. And once we do get that back, it's not like people are going to drive twice as much. I think those are just lost demand bushels. So corn's going to be very tough. Even with China buying corn, beans, and wheat, if that's the case, that extra export demand will not offset the reduced ethanol demand that comes for corn. So corn prices are going to struggle. I think farmers are starting to resign themselves to that fact, and they're hoping that maybe beans and wheat might present some profitable opportunities. But corn, it's going to be a struggle for corn.
Are we talking about 100 million bushels in corn, 200, 300, 400? What do you think?
Well, the government, the planted acres number 97 million. I mean, even if you take 2 or 3 million off of that, 94, 95 times a normal yield, it still gets you well over a 2 billion bushel carryout. So, if we really did plant 97 million acres and have a normal crop, we could have 3.5 billion bushel carryout. So, the market is going to have to prove to us that we have a problem. I think until, you know, this lack of demand is going to keep corn traders on the sideline and keep corn from rallying very much until we really see if we have a problem.
How much has cash basis slipped over the last month?
19 cents. Here at Champaign, we were 10 over the May futures a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and now we're 10 under. So we went from 9 over to 10 under. That's a loss of 19 cents. Some of the processors have dropped an equal amount. Some of the elevators have dropped even more than that. But basis levels have dropped around 19, 20 cents in just the last month alone.
Anything on soybean before I let you go?
Soybeans, there's some demand there, so I think the outlook is a little friendlier on wheat and beans, we'll have to wait and see whether how much China really does buy. They bought a few vessels here and there, but we'll have to see more of that to keep the bean market heading in the right direction.
Hey, Greg, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. Joined us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.